Let's take our Bibles together to the Gospel of John, John chapter 18. We'll continue to go verse by verse through the book, through the Word of God together. And we've come to verse 12 in the text, John 18 and verse 12. And we'll read a few verses here and pray, ask God to speak to our hearts and look at the message. John chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 12, "Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." The Bible says in verse 12 to verse 14 is the narrative of how they arrest Jesus Christ. They arrest him and they bring him in to be tried. It's going to be a mocking trial, a sham of a trial. It's not going to be any justice about it, no fairness about it whatsoever. But I want you to look at verse 12 again. It says, "Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him." I want you to focus your mind just on that phrase just for a little while. Bound him. They bound him. You know, this was the same one that the previous verses in the chapter showed his power when they fell down at his declaring who he was. The same one that showed his power as he put a man's ear that had been severed from his head and stuck it back on and healed his ear. This same powerful Jesus, this same bold Jesus that was not hiding from the authorities or trying to get away from the crucifixion in any regard. This same one who never man spake like he spake. Now the band that has come finally get enough courage to take him, and he says, "I'm here," and he offers no resistance whatsoever. It sort of reminds us of the text in Genesis 22 when Isaac, the only son or the beloved son of Abraham, the Bible says, allowed himself to be bound by his father, that he might be put upon an altar, so that he might be a sacrifice unto God. And of course, you know how that story worked out, but Isaac, much younger than his father Abraham, he could have stopped that situation, but he submissively allowed himself to be bound, because if that was God's will, if that was the Father's will, then he was more than willing to do that, to be a sacrifice. Here we have that same picture. Jesus Christ, I really believe, is not just being bound by these sinners. He could have stopped it at any time. He could have halted any of their advances. But he was really bound by the Father's will, as he said to Peter in the previous verse, "The cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" He was bound in the Spirit to do what needed to be done so that, see, you could be set free. What a song that we heard this morning about glorious freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, and that once we were bound by sin's galling fetters, but the only way anyone could be made free was if the sinless one, the innocent one, would be willing to be bound in our place and be willing to take the punishment that we deserved and offer himself as a sacrifice that might set us free from the bonds that hold our lives And the Bible said they come and they bind Jesus. And what a contrast that is. The one that offers freedom is now offering himself to be bound. I tell you this morning, Jesus was bound for you so you don't have to be bound. And Jesus Christ was tried for you so that you don't have to be tried in the judicial court of God and be sentenced for your guilt of your sin and mine. He was bound and went through the trial so we don't have to do that. He was bound in our place as an innocent man. I started thinking through the Bible about all the times someone is bound in the Bible. The Bible speaks of that maniac of Gadara. Remember that story? He was bound with chains. Other people had bound him. Of course, he was a maniac. He was out of control. And certainly the people today in our society are out of control. And they're bound up with their own carnal and wild affections, and they're bound up with all the things the devil has wrought in their lives, and they can't do right. You know, people that aren't saved can't do right. People that aren't saved, they have no ability to live right because they're bound with their own nature, their sin nature that binds them up. They're bound by the devil. They're bound by their circumstances. But Jesus was bound so that that could be loosed. I think of another individual in the Bible. How about that woman who was bound with an infirmity, the Bible says, for 18 years. It said Satan had bound her. You know, you look at our society. Can't you see the chains that the devil has just tied people up with and locked them? He uses so many devices to do that. I wonder this morning, are you here? And though you're here walking around freely, your spirit is really bound and your heart's bound up and your mind's bound up by the things that the devil has wrought in your life. Or have you experienced the freedom that's in Jesus Christ? We live in a bound up world. We live in a caged society. We live in a society bound with infirmities like that woman. Doesn't have to be that way because Christ took that place. I also thought about not long hence in this gospel about Lazarus. Remember him when he came forth? He came forth from that graveyard, but he was bound in those grave clothes. All of us are bound with the effects of our own sin and death that awaits us all. We can't bring forth our own freedom, and that's why Christ is being bound for us. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, it talks about the bondage of humanity. It talks about the fact that the bondage under the elements of the world, it tells us not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Peter talks about people that promise other people liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. And he goes on to talk about that bondage. They bring them in bondage because they offer them freedom, but those addictions and those pleasures just bring them right back to the bondage. You know, this world has bondage. There's nothing like the freedom to not let the world dictate to you how your life is. You know, I really think that most of our world is like a bunch of automatons. It's just like a bunch of robots. People marching to the same beat that the world has chained them up in. And they think there's nothing else in life. Oh, there's a great life outside of the world. It's life in Jesus Christ. There's great life beyond this world even, eternal life. There's something of bondage about this world system and the thoughts of this world and the philosophies of this world and the people of this world bring you into the bondage of the elements of this world. And Jesus Christ is willing to submit himself to that world that we might not be conquered by that world. We might not be controlled by that world, but we're controlled by Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone to Jesus and let him take the chains of sin off of you? This morning you may be in here and you're not, the first part of this message is for you if you're not saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in chains of sin. And you're not going to be able to reform your life. You're not going to be able to, that's the honest truth. Man cannot change his life. Just like a leopard can't change his spots. Just like you cannot change the color of your skin, the Bible tells us our sin nature has bound us up. You can't stop it. You can't overcome it. You can't control it, but you can go to Jesus Christ, who was bound for you, who went to the cross for you, who bled and died for you, who has the power over death and over bondage and over all the sin of this world. And you can go to Him in your chains and come just as you are and say, I trust You, the one that was innocently bound, and I've got chains of my own making, but set me free, Lord, and He can take them off of you, and He can change your life. And He can change your heart, and He can change your mind. People don't have to be bound up in the bondage of sin. They can get to Jesus and be free. Freedom's not found in America. Freedom's found in Jesus. Freedom's not found in doing what you want to do. Freedom's found in Jesus. And we live in such a sad, bondage-filled world, and people don't even know they're in the chains that are controlling their everyday lives. Are you free this morning? The Bible says if the Son, if He'll set you free, if He'll make you free, you'll be free indeed. And He was bound so that you could be free. Would you look at our text? I think he just further emphasizes that. Verse 12 said, they bound Him. And verse 13 says, and led Him away. Led Him away to Annas first, before he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. 14, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now, we talked about this before earlier in this book, but Caiaphas made a great statement that he didn't even know what he said. You know, sometimes people say things, they don't even know the deeper meaning of it. And Caiaphas was saying this in a way of getting the Jews out of the Romans' crosshairs, you know. Yes, he needs to die for the people so that we'll be all right. But the Bible says that he prophesied, that he didn't even know it, but the Spirit of God was speaking that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And I tell you, Jesus died for you. He died for everything you've ever done that has transgressed the laws of God. He died. He was bound for you, and he was led away for you. He was tried for you, and he died for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Why would you turn away the greatest love that you could ever know in your life, that Jesus died for you? Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure, even for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. Oh, I wish you'd respond to that if you've not. I wish you'd come to Jesus and let Him set you free and bear your debt so that, you see, the wages of sin is death, and all of us are going to have to pay it. But Jesus said, I paid it for you if you let me. What a story we have. And now we go from this headed toward the trial. And I not only see the binding of Jesus, I see another thing that I think we need to think about. Verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest. Now, here John is writing about himself. He does it often in this book. He's speaking in the third person about himself, you see. And so Simon Peter and John both are following the crowd that's taking Jesus bound to try Him. They're following Jesus. And the Bible says that one of the disciples, this John here, the disciples known as the high priest, verse 15, look at it, went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But notice the change, verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. So you have two different disciples. Let me talk to you for a moment about the distant disciple. Now, these disciples had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and their whole lives were wrapped up in Jesus. And now that He's being taken to trial, now the Bible says all of them ran away, but somewhere in that mix, Simon Peter and John started thinking, we can't run away. We've got to see what happens. We've got to follow the Lord. And so they caught up evidently with a crowd in some manner, and they started following the crowd as Jesus goes to trial, and they follow him down there to Caiaphas as they take him into the palace to be tried. And when they get to the door, John says, I'm going to follow him on into the palace. And Peter says, I think I'll just stay at the door. In other words, Peter said, I don't want to go that far. I don't want to go inside. Maybe he felt vulnerable. Maybe he had some bitterness in his heart at the Lord over the instance of him cutting off the ear of Malchus and his rebuke that he gave to him. I don't know the reasoning. I just know that in this story there is a distant disciple. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Peter followed afar off. It says that over and over. He's following Jesus, but he's following way behind. And he's getting farther and farther and farther away from the Lord as they walk the journey. And then when they get up to the palace and Jesus goes into the trial, Peter says, I'm not going any farther. I'm not going to go any farther with him. I'm not going to be that close to him anymore. I wonder this morning, you may have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but are you a distant disciple? Are you following Him, but afar off? How close are you? Now, thank God, you know, there are really three types of disciples you could think about in this story. There's some of the disciples that just quit following Him at all. Right? Where's the rest of the guys? They're gone. All the rest of them are gone. Judas, we know where he is. The rest of the disciples, where's James? He's not around, he says. That's it. Heads home. It's dark. It's late. It's after hours. It's way past in the midnight hours and beyond here in this story. And they said, we're tired. We're finished with this. And they leave. Oh, this is the generation of people leaving the things of God and leaving the truth and leaving Christ, leaving that closeness. And yes, there were disciples that said, no. Now, praise God, they got right with God later. But this point in their life, they said, I'm not following him anymore. And Peter says, well, I'll follow him, but just not that closely. And John says, well, not me. I'm going to go all the way in where he is. How does that story end up? When they're at the cross, what happens? Is John not still there? You know why he's still there? Because he made a choice not to be a distant disciple. He made a choice to go on inside the door and not stay outside and not linger behind. I'll ask you this question. You may be saved this morning, but how close are you to the Master? How closely are you following Him? You can be a Christian, but not be following at all. And you can be saved by the grace of God, and just little by little you're getting farther away from the fellowship and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A distant disciple. Look at what it says here in the text. He says in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without. He's standing, but he's not near. He's outside. He's outside and he's standing with the wrong people. Would you look at verse 18? And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Look at the end of verse 18. And Peter stood with them. I'm asking, why isn't he standing with Jesus? He's standing with the people outside. He's standing not where Jesus is. He's having fellowship with those that really hate the Lord. Would you hold your finger there? And take your Bible to Mark, because Mark tells us something else strange. You know, I ask you this question this morning. Who are you standing with? Think about that. Who are you standing with? You say, preacher, I stand with President Trump. No, who do you stand with in your life? Who are the people that you want to be counted in the lot with? You want to identify with them. Whose friendship do you desire most of all? Whose fellowship do you desire most of all? Peter, the great disciple. Because he was following from a far distance, he wound up standing with the wrong people that actually despised Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14, I'll read it to you and show it to you. He says in Mark chapter 14 and verse 54. The Bible says in Mark 14, 54, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. Now watch this now. And he sat with the servants. Now that's interesting because our other text said he stood with them, right? Now watch the progression. Come here now. He follows afar off, then he begins standing with these people, and then pretty soon he's sitting down with them. You see the progression? It's like Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what? If you follow far off from the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're content not to be close with Jesus even though you're saved, you are pretty soon going to start standing with people that do not love the Lord, that are not trying to do right, and then you'll be sitting down with them. Watch this. Who are these people he's sitting with? Verse 54, look at it again. He sat with the servants. Who is that? Would you look at verse 65? And some began to spit on him. That's Jesus. Don't spit on Jesus. And to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy, and the, what's that word? Servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Who does verse 54 say that Peter was sitting with? The servants. Who is striking Jesus in verse 65? The servants. Oh, what a tragedy. Somebody that used to be so close to Jesus Christ like Simon Peter, and now he is standing with and sitting with and warming himself and fellowshipping with people that are actually going to put their fists and their hands on Jesus Christ and smite him. Oh, it'd be better if he'd have gone on inside. Where are you standing this morning? Who are your associations with? Because if you're not careful, if you're a distant disciple, you're getting ready to deny the Lord. Peter didn't plan on doing that. But what happens at the end of this story? He denies Jesus Christ three times. He never would have gone there if he hadn't started falling far off. You ever wonder, how did so-and-so get in this mess? They just got away from God and started following a little farther and a little farther. And their relationship with God just was a little less important and a little less important. And pretty soon, they're out standing with people that hate Jesus Christ and sitting down with them and denying they even belong to Christ. What a sad story. Who are you standing with? Now, the good thing about this story is that that one guy, that disciple, who is John, our writer, he goes all the way in. And the Bible says in verse 16, I love this. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known of the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. John's in there. He's all by himself. He's by himself in there with Jesus. He's standing with Jesus. He loves Jesus. And he turns around and Peter's gone. You know what he does? He said, I tell you what, I'm going to go get that boy. I'm going to tell him he needs to get in here. And so he goes out to the door and maybe he doesn't see him immediately. He can't find him. He grabs a damsel. He grabs a maiden. He says, hey, go find that guy that looks like a Christian. Go find that guy that looks like a Christian, that looks out of place. Can I tell you something? If you are saved, if you are really saved, you are so out of place in this world.
Right. Yes, sir.
You don't even look like you belong there. How did that damsel know where to find Peter? He stood out like a sore thumb. And that damsel goes out and says, hey, he wants you to come inside. You know what I tell you this morning? You're in church this morning. But just because you're in church this morning doesn't mean you're close to Jesus Christ in your heart. And what I want to tell you is, come on inside. Amen. Come on inside. And whatever it is keeping you outside of the fellowship with God. Whatever it is keeping you outside of that closeness with God. Whatever it is that's keeping you from taking a stand with Jesus instead of identifying with the wrong crowd. Just come on inside. the story. You have to read the rest of the gospel. What actually happened? Peter comes in, he stays for a while, and he goes back out. Haven't you seen that? You've seen that in your own life? You'll get close, and then you'll be a little bit farther away. Shouldn't it scare you to death about how close you are with Jesus Christ? The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. You know, I don't know any of us in here. You should. It ought to be your desire. You ought to want God to be close to you. But the truth is, He's not going to be close to you if you don't draw nigh to Him. If you don't want to be close to Him, He won't be close to you. If you're content to be on the outside of the door, if you're content to go out to the porch and get away from Him, He'll let you do that. Don't be a distant disciple. Don't be a disciple that quits following, but don't be a distant disciple. I see a last thing. Would you look at the text in verse 18? And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You see that same phrase, if you'll drop down again about verse 20. Where is it? The Bible says that, verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. But you know whose fire he's warming at? He's warming himself at the devil's fire. He's warming himself at Satan's fire. He's trying to comfort himself in this long night, which by this time is very in the early hours of the morning, but still dark. He's trying to find some comfort, but he's at the wrong fire. Look what that verse says again in verse 18. In the middle of the verse, it says it was cold. I tell you what, it just wasn't cold outside that night. It was also cold down here in the heart of Peter. His love had got cold because iniquity had abounded. The love of many was waxing cold. I wonder this morning, how hot is your love for Jesus Christ? Because if our love is not hot for Jesus Christ, we will find another fire. Or the devil will make sure to build us one. You know, that's what's happening here. Peter didn't go out and say, man, I'm cold, let me build a fire. No, the devil already had a fire for him to keep him outside. Did you hear that? The devil had already prepared a fire for him to get him to sit down with the wrong people. And try to find comfort in a way that God did not intend for him to. You know, the devil will kindle you a fire if you're not careful. If you're distant to Christ, the devil will make a fire for you in your life to try to satisfy you. It'll be hollow, but he'll do that. And that only happens when it gets cold. That only happens when it gets cold. You know why I get so burdened and I pray for some people? Sometimes it's not that they've done anything. It's just their heart is like an ice cube with God. And when your heart gets cold on God, the devil is going to build you a fire. He's going to give you an out. He's going to give you a place to put your attention and put your affection somewhere else. Oh, here's a come over to this fire. The Lord, He's not doing much. Come over here. Oh, just forget about Jesus. You know, all that stuff you've heard about you've heard about 3.5 years. Come here, look, feel this fire. Feel how warm it is. Feel how good it feels. Come on, Peter, just sit down here and just warm up, Peter. You know, get you some marshmallows out. Roast you some marshmallows on this fire. Amen. Just enjoy yourself. Warm up. It's cold, Peter. I wonder this morning, are you cold? Is your prayer life cold? Is your praising life cold? I don't know about you, but in my life, I look sometimes and I say, God, I'm sorry, my heart's getting a little cold. I need that fire of the love of God in my life. And I don't want some cheap fire that the devil will give me to try to satisfy me. And Peter's out there warming himself. He's trying to feel good. He's trying to get comfort. He's trying to find satisfaction in his life. He's trying to find all that he needs for himself. He's warming himself. But you know what happens when you warm yourself at the devil's fire? You just keep going lower. What a low place he finds in his life. Even Mark's gospel in chapter 14:66 says he was beneath in the palace. It was dark. He was cold. He's following afar off. He's distant. The same one that had been so close to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he walked closer than the rest of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? And now just a few hours later, he's so far away. That's like that hymn in our book, I've wandered far away from God. And now I'm coming home. I'm tired of being so cold. I'm tired of being at the devil's fire. I'm tired of enjoying the fire of coals that the devil kindles for me. Which fire are you warming at? Are you warming yourself at the Lord's fire or the devil's fire? He warmed himself. And then you know what happens in this story? Look at verse 17. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Warming yourself with the devil's fire will cause you to deny the Lord, not once, but twice. Look at verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He just looked out of place again. He denied it and said, I am not. But it wasn't enough. Verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. Three times. And Jesus prophesied that. You remember what Peter said? In all of his boldness, Though I would die with thee, yet shall I not deny thee. And the first thing, this little girl comes to him. Now listen now. Big, bold, bad Peter, right? Fisherman. Tough guy. And here comes this little girl and says, Aren't you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. He couldn't even stand up against the littlest opposition. Because as you stick yourself in the devil's fire away from God, it'll get easier and easier and easier to deny the Lord and deny the truth and deny the Bible and not be a witness and not be what you used to be. Oh, as Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. I want to be counted with Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of me. I don't want to be ashamed of Him. But I will be if I follow afar off and I get in the coldness and the darkness. The devil's fire caused him to deny the Lord. It also caused him to change his speech. It's not in this text, but you remember, he not only denied it, you know what he started doing? Come on, tell me, what did he start doing? Cursing and swearing. The devil's fire just changes everything about you. Following afar off and letting your heart get cold changes everything about you. Changes your speech. Changes your desires. Changes your priorities. And I tell you this morning, we need a revival of the fire of God in our hearts and the warmth of God and the closeness of God. And however close you think you are with Jesus or you aren't, you can get closer and you can go on inside. You don't have to stay out there. And you don't have to have this happen to you. You know, the story seemingly ends terrible, but it has a good ending. The Bible says, and I want you to look at the very phrases of the Bible here, and I'll read my last verse after this one. Verse 18, one more time. John 18:18, and the servants and officers stood there, now watch this, who had made a fire of coals. Do you see that? And then Peter did, of course, Peter in this text denies the Lord three times. Would you look at chapter 21? John 21. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 21:9. As soon then as they were come to land, look at it, look at your Bible. They saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And you know what the conversation is? Three times. Jesus says to Peter, Lovest thou me? In other words, what I'm telling you this morning, the devil had a fire for Peter, but Jesus had a fire for Peter. The devil had a fire of coals to warm himself and content himself, but Jesus had a fire of coals to warm him and to content him, and there was bread and fish there. In the fire of the devil, there's denial three times. In the fire of the Lord, there's the question of love to Christ three times. Can't you see it this morning? This is not just about Peter. This is about you. Do you love Him? What fire are you at? What fire do you want? At which fire do you want to warm yourself at? At which fire do you want to fellowship with? You see, we're preaching the circumstances and this and that. Peter had all of that and more. And the devil gave him a fire, and the Lord gave him a fire. Which one do you want? You want that closeness with God? You want that heart not to be cold anymore? And maybe you're here this morning and you're bound up in your sin. And this man that was bound for you wants to set you free.